Picking up in our study tonight, Revelation chapter 10, Revelation chapter 10. Before we begin reading in this chapter, it is a short chapter of only 11 verses, and we'll read it through in just a moment. But before we do, we want to go back and rehearse for just a moment, like we always do. And you say, we always do that. Why? Well, I want you to be very familiar. I want you to be able to, at least from chapter 5 up to where we're at, to see how all of this fits together. Remember, back in chapter 5, if you will, the Lord took a scroll from the hand of God, and he began to open the seven seals on that scroll. In Revelation in chapter 6, Revelation in chapter 6, we see the beginning of the opening of those seals. In chapter 6 and in verse 1, he opens the first seal. Chapter 6 and in verse 3, the second seal is open. Chapter 6 and in verse 5, the third seal is open. Chapter 6 and in verse 7, the fourth seal is open. Chapter 6 and in verse 9, the fifth seal is open, but this is very important. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth in the land? Of course, we see the opening of the sixth seal then in chapter 6 and in verse 12. But the opening of the seventh seal does not take place to chapter 8 in verse 1. So after the opening of that sixth seal in chapter 6 and in verse 12, chapter 7, we said, was kind of an interlude. Or I suggested it may simply be a continuation of the opening of that sixth seal. And so we come to chapter 8 and verse 1, the opening of the seventh seal on the scroll in the hand of the Lord. With the opening of the seventh seal, then we have the sounding of seven trumpets. And so in this chapter, chapter 8, and in verse 1, the first angel sounded. That is, the first trumpet sounded. The second trumpet sounded in verse 8 of chapter 8. Chapter 8 in verse 10, the third trumpet sounded. Chapter 8 and in verse 12, the fourth angel sounded. And with the sounding of that fourth trumpet, verse 13, And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, that is, the inhabitants of the land, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound. So with the sounding of the fourth angel, woe, woe, woe. Misery, misery, misery. Destruction, destruction, destruction. That's what's coming with the next three sounding of the trumpets. With each one of those trumpets, there's a woe. And so chapter 9 and verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded. That is the fifth trumpet. Chapter 9 and in verse 13. The sixth angel sounded. That's the sixth trumpet. And with each one of those trumpets, remember a woe. Chapter 9 and verse 12. One woe is past after the fifth angel sounded. Behold, still two more woes are coming. So the two more woes are the sixth trumpet, chapter 9 and verse 13. The last woe, of course, would be the seventh trumpet. But note, after the sounding of the sixth trumpet, just like after the opening of the sixth seal, chapter 10 is an interlude. It's a break, you might say, in the action or the things that are taking place. Or, as I suggested before, instead of an interlude, perhaps a continuation of the sounding of that sixth trumpet. Now, this will continue not only through chapter 10, but into chapter 11, notice. Into chapter 11, all the way down to verse 14. The second woe is past. That's the sixth trumpet. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly, coming soon. That next woe to come is the sounding of the seventh trumpet. It doesn't take place till verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded. That's the end of the nation of Israel with the sounding of the seventh trumpet. So we come back to chapter 10, where the interlude begins, or a continuation of the sounding of the sixth trumpet. Chapter 10 and in verse 1, reading from the New King James Version. And I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had a little book open in his hand. And he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, accomplished, completed, fulfilled, as he declared to his servants the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. And I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Chapter 10. Again, this is an interlude, or either the continuation of the sounding of the sixth angel, begun back in chapter 9 and in verse 13. In this text, we see John on this occasion. The text begins with, and I saw, and I saw. That's literally it, and I saw, instead of just I saw. Indicating that there's another vision represented before him. We've seen this in times past. At the very beginning of the book, I said we're going to see this phrase, and I saw, and I saw. Sometimes it's a continuation of the vision that he's immediately having. Sometimes it's a new vision. This begins a new vision. So he says, and I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow on his head. His face was like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. So, and I saw. Back in chapter 9 and in verse 1, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw. So we've seen this phrase, and I saw, before. Chapter 9 and verse 17, last two times we saw, and I saw. So the vision changes. He sees on this still another mighty angel coming down. Another mighty angel, another, that is another of the same kind, of the same sort. Of the same sort that was mentioned back in chapter 5 and in verse 2. Then I saw a strong or mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? So here we have another mighty or strong angel. Some versions use the word strong, some versions use the word mighty. But it's simply another mighty or strong angel. Now some have suggested that the one under consideration here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Or perhaps the one referred to in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. Oftentimes, sometimes people think that that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But on this occasion, I believe the angel under consideration is not the Lord Jesus Christ himself, although he has some features presented as if he appears to be the Lord Jesus Christ himself, such as Some of these are, that believe that he's the Lord Jesus Christ argue that the cloud and the rainbow must identify this angel as Jesus Christ or the Lord God himself, being the angel of the Lord, known from the Old Testament. Likewise, a face like the sun and legs or feet like pillars of fire are features of the glorified Christ in chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16, chapter 2 and in verse 18. So those were features of the Lord himself. But just because this mighty angel has features of the Lord himself doesn't make him the Lord himself. Another reason I don't believe it's the Lord himself is the Lord nor God, throughout the 67 occurrences of the word angel in the book of Revelation, is never referred to as an angel. So I just don't think it's the Lord himself who is under consideration. Most likely, the one that is mentioned here under consideration is just a mighty or strong angel, because we're going to read about mighty or strong angels other places in the book of Revelation. And so, this one is perhaps best understood simply as an agent of God. An agent of God who has evidently close ties with God himself or the Lord Jesus Christ is why he presents the features of the Lord himself. Because sometimes when people are in the presence of God, then they manifest sometimes the characteristics of God, like when Moses was on the mount. In the presence of God. He came down from the mount, and what? The presence of God was on his face. His face was shining. It was glowing. And so, maybe this one, because they're in such close proximity or in the presence of God, manifests some of the characteristics of deity, manifests some of the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe it's just a mighty angel, a strong angel, as the text simply indicates, and as we'll see used in other places in the book of Revelation. Verse 2 of chapter 10, he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. Is this the same book, the same scroll mentioned back in chapter 5 that the Lord had in his hand with the seven seals? I don't believe it is the same book, because this book is unsealed. And you say, well, the seven seals have been opened. And so the book that we originally saw back in chapter 5 is now open. Well, I don't believe these are the same scrolls. First of all, the little scroll here under consideration is found within the scroll with the seven seals, remember? Therefore, they cannot be the same. The seventh seal was opened back in chapter 8 in verse 1, but with the opening of the seven seals, with the seventh seal, excuse me, then there was the sounding of what? Seven trumpets. And so this little book is contained within the sounding of the sixth trumpet mentioned back in chapter 9 and verse 13. So the sounding of the seventh trumpet hasn't even taken place yet, with the opening of the seventh seal on the original scroll. So that's why I don't believe that they are the same. Second, when the seventh seal was opened back in chapter 8, we had the sounding of the seven trumpets. And since the seventh trumpet has not yet sounded, and it doesn't sound until chapter 11 and verse 15, the two scrolls can't be the same. I believe the little scroll is simply a part of the larger scroll. That is, that which was contained on the large scroll that had the seven seals that were sealed up, this is simply a part of it, because it is part of the opening of those seals. And that's why I say it's just simply a part. And I think that's why perhaps it's referred to as a little scroll or a little book. It distinguishes itself by that term from the original scroll. Now remember what the scroll was back in chapter 5? Some say, well, it was the Bible as a whole. Others say it's different things. But I suggested to you that that scroll back in chapter 5 that had the seven seals that was in the Lord's hand that he opens was that revelation concerning the end of the nation of Israel that was given to Daniel that he was told to seal up. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 14. An angel of the Lord to Daniel, now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people, note this, in the latter or last days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. So the angel that revealed these things to Daniel in the last few chapters of the book of Daniel says, I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the last or latter days. This is, in the book of Revelation, the last or latter days. Last or latter days of what? Last or latter days of the nation of Israel. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And we could go on and read. I want you to read in Daniel chapter 12 and see where I'm reading. Jumping down to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. He is told to seal up these words back in chapter 12 and verse 10. He said that the angel told, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Time of the end of what? Time of the end of the world? No, the time of the end of the nation of Israel. And so that which was sealed up that Daniel had received, the Lord had in his hand in chapter 5. And he opens those seals and he makes known what was in that revelation given to Daniel. And it's revealed for us in the book of Revelation. And so I believe the little book is simply part of that revelation contained in that original scroll. Now we have here, at the end of verse 2, chapter 10, Revelation, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. Taking an imposing stance, you might say, that represents the reach of this revelation across all of God's creation. The angel straddles both sea and land. We have the picture here where this encompasses all three of the commonly cited realms of God's created universe, heaven and earth or land and sea. We see it, those phrases used several times. Chapter 5 and verse 13. We'll see it again, chapter 14 and verse 7. Thus the angel's actions in giving the little scroll to John will have ramifications for all of God's creation. The destruction of Israel was going to affect all of mankind. And it still has. You see what we're doing today. We're still studying about it. Chapter 10, Revelation, in verse 3. And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. So the angel cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. So the angel utters a loud cry like a lion roars. Remember, evidently, he's a representative of God, and so he speaks like God. God is often pictured as roaring like a lion. Hosea 11 and verse 10, they shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons shall come trembling from the west. Joel 3 and in verse 16, the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength for the children of Israel. And we could read other places where we read about God roaring like a lion. So the angel roars like a lion, that is, in a loud voice. And he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Note this, thunders have voices. These thunders may simply be angels that are assisting him in carrying out the will of God in bringing about the destruction of the nation of Israel and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. He had not written yet. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, now it's not the angel that he heard, but this voice comes out of heaven. Remember, the angel came down and stood on the land and the sea. And I want you to note that. It seems as though John is on the earth, doesn't it? Because the angel comes down out of heaven, stands on the earth and the sea, and John has to go to him and get the little book. So it seems as though John is on the earth, but earlier in our study of the book of Revelation, it seems as though John was in heaven in the throne room of God. That's where he had received the revelation from. But the things that are transpiring in that revelation that he's being given are things that are transpiring upon the earth. And surely we've seen that up to this point in time. So he is about to write because that was his purpose in receiving this revelation, was to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered. Seal them up. The idea is, don't make them known. I know that to be the case because he says, do not write them. So he didn't write them down and then put a literal seal on them so it would be open later on. No, it was something that simply was not to be made known. Seal up and do not write. So even though John had apparently not yet written anything on the scroll that could be closed up or sealed, here it simply means that this is not to be disclosed. It's to be kept secret. Kind of like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. So John couldn't utter these. He couldn't write them. He couldn't make them known. And again, evidently it wasn't necessary for them to be made known. Remember what it said in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. So sometimes God makes things known, sometimes to his prophets, that are not to be made known to the rest of mankind. And evidently, we could speculate all day on what the seven thunders uttered. We simply do not know. Revelation 10 and verse 5. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. So after something, you might say, of a digression here in verse 3 and 4 that we just looked at, John picks up the main event again of his vision from verse 2. Where he first presented the angel who was standing on the sea and on the land. And so the angel's actions is recorded here in terms that's actually drawn closely from Daniel chapter 12, where I was reading earlier. Again, in Daniel chapter 12, I want to read again, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others on this riverbank, and the other on that riverbank. He's talking about two other angels. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all of these things shall be finished, completed, fulfilled. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Do we not see almost the same picture? There when Daniel received his revelation, the angel held up his hand and swore to the God of creation. And that's what this angel does. He swears by the God of all creation. And so the content of the angel's declaration concerns God's timing, though. and his purpose in the events that John described as what must happen soon. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 22 and verse 6 and 7. So in verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel. Now when's the seventh angel going to sound? Chapter 11 and verse 15. Now get this. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, when he's about to sound that trumpet, remember, the sounding of the seventh trumpet brings the utter destruction of the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. It brings about, you might say, the answer to the souls underneath the altar crying out for vengeance. So Revelation 10 and verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, note this, the mystery of God would be finished, completed, accomplished, fulfilled, as he declared, as God declared to his servants, the prophets. So what we have, the content of the angel's declaration again, concerns God's timing and purpose. In the events that John described in Revelation 1 and verse 1, revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Revelation 22 and verse 6, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. So when the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. It would be completed. It would be fulfilled. We read often in the New Testament about the mystery of God, especially in the New Testament in Paul's writings. For example, in Romans 16 and verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of everlasting God for obedience to the faith. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Ephesians 1 and verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. Ephesians 3 and in verse 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ. Ephesians 6 and in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We could go on and read other places as well. The mystery is spoken of several times in the New Testament. What does the mystery involve? Well, it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis when God had made the promise to Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Well, from Abraham came what? From Abraham came the nation of Israel that was carried away into Egyptian bondage and was delivered. But God's promised seed was going to come through that people. And so the salvation of mankind involved the nation of Israel. All things associated with the mystery cannot be separated from the people of God, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. Their beginning and their utter and complete end is associated with this mystery under consideration. Involved in that mystery, of course, that Paul speaks about, I read earlier here in Ephesians chapter 3, was the fact that Gentiles were supposed to be part of the body of Christ. That those who were going to be blessed in regard to that blessing that would come upon Abraham's descendants would include both Jew and Gentile. But what do we have the Jewish people thinking? They're the only ones saved. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, why are Christians persecuted? Mainly because they're preaching that salvation has come to the Gentiles, just as it has to the Jews. And so many Christians are put to death because of that. But I want to go back to this in verse 7 of Revelation 10. verse 7, Revelation chapter 10. Note that again. When the seventh angel sounds, the mystery of God would be finished, accomplished, completed, fulfilled. It's no longer a mystery. It was once a mystery that God was going to save all men in Christ Jesus, Jew and Gentile. That was once a mystery, but it has now been revealed. Paul speaks about, if you read Ephesians chapter 3, you will come to understand or have his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So the mystery is not something that's secret now. At one time it was secret, but now it's been made known. Let's read that in Ephesians. So the mystery is not something that's secret. It's something that has now been revealed.
I got it here, James. Can I read it?
Go ahead.
Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Which in other ages
was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the same body and takers of his promise in Christ to the gospel, not only to the Gentiles, but to us too.
Absolutely. Now I want you to take this thought that I was working on here. The mystery of God would be finished, that is accomplished, completed, fulfilled. I want you to turn with me over to Luke 21 and verse 22. Luke 21 and verse 22. Luke 21 and in verse 22. So if the mystery of God has to do with the redemption, the salvation of all men in Christ Jesus. That mystery of God cannot be separated from the nation of Israel, from the Jewish people, because the Jewish people was God's chosen people through whom all of that was going to be brought about. Luke 21 and in verse 22. Luke 21 and in verse 22. I want us to note these two statements, the one in Revelation 10 and verse 7, and this one in Luke 21 and in verse 22. Luke 21 and verse 22, where Jesus said, and he's speaking of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. He said, for these are the days of vengeance. Note this, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now, what was written when Jesus made that statement? That all things which were written may be fulfilled. What was written when Jesus made that statement? The law and the prophets were written. All that was contained in the law and the prophets concerning the utter end of the nation of Israel was going to be fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem. Now take that to Revelation 10 and verse 7. Again, Revelation 10 and verse 7. When he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. It would be accomplished. It would be completed. It would be fulfilled. When the nation of Israel was destroyed in 70 AD and the city of Jerusalem lay in ruins, the mystery of God to save all men in Christ Jesus was completed. Look with me in Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 15, at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Remember, at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, back in chapter 10 and verse 7, the mystery of God would be finished. So chapter 11 and verse 15, when the seventh angel sounded. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders fell, who sat before God on their thrones, fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, note what they say, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. For the nations were angry and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, who are the dead? Those dead saints underneath the altar? When the fifth seal was opened, remember? And the time of the dead that they should be judged or avenged, and that you should reward whom? Your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth or the land." Now back in chapter 5, in case you didn't follow me, back in chapter 5, when that fifth seal was opened, "I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth, that is, in the land?' And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer till both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed, fulfilled, accomplished." So when the seventh angel sounded, the mystery of God was fulfilled. It was completed. It was accomplished. All things that were written regarding the nation of Israel and its utter end was accomplished and fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem. And then the mystery of God was completed. At the end of chapter 11, I should have read verse 19. The end of chapter 11. Verse 19, "Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of His covenant was seen in His temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail." The temple of God was opened in heaven. Had the temple of God not already been opened in heaven? Yes, it had. But there was an earthly temple still standing. Where were people putting their faith, trust, and confidence? Still in the old city of Jerusalem. Still in the old nation of Israel. But now, with the destruction of the nation, with the destruction of the city, with the destruction of the temple, there is but one temple of God, the heavenly temple, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, there would be no competition. There would be no question about where one should put their faith, trust, and confidence. That would be in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I wanted to get through this chapter, but there's a lot in this chapter. I want to look at this phrase next week because we're out of time. At the end of verse 7 of Revelation 10, "And as He declared to His servants, the prophets." Let's just look at that as people are coming in. "As He declared to His servants, the prophets." You see that phrase? His servants, the prophets. His, of course, is God's servants, the prophets. That's an Old Testament term. It refers to Old Testament prophets. So, back in Revelation 10, in verse 7, when the seventh angel was about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. As He, that is, as God, had declared to His servants, the prophets. Now, we could take time to go back and look in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other prophets where God, and book of Daniel, where God had prophesied the utter end of the nation of Israel. Go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, as a matter of fact. God had prophesied of the utter end that was going to come to the nation of Israel. So when the seventh angel is about to sound, the mystery of God is finished. It is completed. That mystery of God, God had spoken about to the prophets of old, the Old Testament prophets. That's what He says in Revelation 10 and verse 7. When He is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished as He declared to His servants, the prophets. God had declared to those Old Testament prophets about the utter end of the nation of Israel. And when the nation of Israel is destroyed by the Romans in 70 A.D., the mystery of God is accomplished. It's fulfilled. It's complete. Because the nation of Israel is involved in the mystery of God. The mystery of God has to do with the redemption of all mankind in Christ Jesus. But you can't separate that mystery of God from the nation of Israel, the physical nation of Israel. The physical nation of Israel no longer exists because the mystery of God has been accomplished. It's been fulfilled. It's been brought to its utter end. It'll not change. All men will be saved in Christ Jesus. The servants, the prophets. Many Old Testament passages use that phrase and speak about the Old Testament prophets. Let me just read a few. 2 Kings 9 and verse 7. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood, note this, of my servants the prophets. 2 Kings 17 and verse 13. Yet the Lord testified again against Israel and against Judah by all his prophets, every seer saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. My servants the prophets is mentioned over and over again in the Old Testament scriptures. Ezekiel 9 and verse 11, Jeremiah 7 and verse 25, Jeremiah 25 and verse 4, Ezekiel 38 and verse 17, Daniel 9 and verse 6, my servants the prophets. So what had God declared to his servants, the prophets, the Old Testament prophets? He had declared the mystery of God. It would be finished, completed. What did that mystery of God involve? The utter end of the nation of Israel. All right. We'll pick up in Revelation 10 and verse 8 next Wednesday evening. Any other questions or comments? Right. Exactly. And that's a good point. What do we get out of this? Well, if God had spoken to his servants, the prophets, about the mystery, and it was completed when Israel and Jerusalem fell in 70 A.D., what does that tell us? Back hundreds of years, God had prophesied what was going to take place in the law and in the prophets. And when it happened in 70 A.D., just as God said it was going to happen, it shows that God is true to his word. We can put our trust and confidence in the word of God, because although God said hundreds of years ago this was going to happen, it happened just as he said it was going to happen, just as he had declared to his holy servants, the prophets. So the assurance to us is, God is true to his word. He will keep his word regardless of how many years it takes. He will keep his word. If he says a nation is going to come to its utter end, it will come to its utter end. In whose time? In his time, because he is in control. As a matter of fact, he's managing all of this. From the throne room of God, all of this is taking place. Another mark of inspiration. Good point. Thank you very much for your kind attention. We'll pick up here at verse 8, Revelation 10, next Wednesday evening.